It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, it is good to be with you again from Bible Home Church. I love Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, when you send a love gift or a tithe and offering to Bible Home Church, it comes out of your bank account, doesn't it? Out of your checking account. Some people would say, what have you got to show for that? All you have is a minus. Well, these people simply don't understand the biblical instruction. They don't understand the blessings of God. Lay up treasures for eternity. That's what God is saying. And when you give from the heart, and it has to be from the heart, not because you're begrudging and say, I don't really want to give, but I will. No, God loves a cheerful giver, the Bible says. And don't plan to get anything back here on earth. I think that's really the key. You agree with me? There's the key. Because, you know, I know all these preachers on television, they say, you know, give to get. Name it and claim it. You know, plant a financial seed in this ministry and you'll get back all these financial gifts. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you may not get back one gift here on earth. In fact, Jesus may come tonight. He may come 30 seconds after you've written a check to this ministry. So, I mean, it would be, you know, very unfair of me, although God has rewarded many people. I do believe that. He has rewarded many people with finances and good jobs and certainly wonderful wives and husbands and all that. But I'm not saying God can't do it. He does it. I'm just saying I'm not going to promise it. That's God's business. He will give you whatever he wants. And I'm convinced that some people he actually leaves poor. Oh, is it that cruel for God to leave somebody poor? No. Might be you have to move into a little old rinky-dink house way out on the other side of the tracks, and you're just a poor person, and God moves you in right next door to a man next door who's a reprobate who needs the Word of God. You'd never meet that man if you weren't poor. Maybe that's the reason. You see, God has a reason for everything. You're going to find out on the other side, my friends. And don't ever despise the poor. Don't ever say, he must have done something wrong. She must have sin in her life. She's not prosperous. You better listen to me. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, I love that verse. I just love the Bible. What a great Savior we have that gave us these guidelines to go on. And that's why, you know, God is no respecter of persons, by the way. I could give a whole sermon on that. I'm getting going here on these sermons, and I have an important message to give today, but you know, that is true. God is no respecter of persons. I know a lot of people ask me in the church, why is it, Tex, you spend just as much time with the guy that has a hole in his pants and has black skin as you do a fluent person that drove up in a Lexus or a Mercedes? Why do you do that? And you know what I answered one time? This really happened to me in a church. They said, you know, every time this guy comes up and talks to you, you always give him time and everything. That's nice and everything. But, you know, he doesn't have anything to give you. That's what some people told me. He doesn't have anything to give you, Pastor. Why do you spend time with that man? I said, well, I want him to pray for me. They said, to pray for you? I said, oh, yeah, he's a prayer warrior. That man knows how to pray. Oh, I've seen him pray before. He believes when he prays. He has faith. That's why I spend time with him. And they were sort of shocked at that. And of course, you know, I was trying to make a point here that if you spend all your time because people have money, well, God's not going to give you any reward in heaven. That's what I want. Because folks, listen, I'm at the age now where, you know, I'm not even interested. I was asking Wanda not too long ago, did she mind that I've never bought her a fur coat or fancy jewelry and everything and that? She said, well, I have so many blessings. I have so many blessings, she said. And she said, I wouldn't want to wear that silly stuff. You know, that's true. You know, in my entire life, I have actually visited a country club twice. I am over 21, but by some years, many decades over 21. And I've never go. I don't go to those places. First, I'd feel out of sync. You know, the topics there are not too spiritual at those places. I've heard, you know, I don't play golf. So I don't try to go out and meet anybody on the golf course and pal around and win influence that way. I don't play any golf. So, you know, I don't hang out in any country club or anything like that. And, but the people I meet, I love just as much. Isn't that something? I can feel at home in a bowling alley. I can feel at home, you know, out someplace out in the country, even though I don't hunt either. I guess, you know, some people say, well, those guns are expensive too. Well, they probably are, you know. there's a lot of guns out there that are expensive. Tell you what I love to do. I love to read the Bible. I love to pray. I love to study and investigate. I love to expose darkness. That's my favorite hobby, unmasking the devil to shine light on God. Well, I've said enough about my wants, my desires, but friends, listen to me. God is great, isn't he? And we need to give a tribute to God. We have a song for you now, and you're going to enjoy this song because it's all about a tribute. And then I'll be right back, and we'll begin our message today, which will be on the subject of dealing with self-righteous people, how to witness to them. Self-righteous. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to bring them down to earth. No, no, no. We're going to raise them, these self-righteous people, all the way to heaven right after this song.
For the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you came to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I have and all I'll ever hope to be, I owe it all to God.
Worse than anybody else. I'm not such a big sinner. Why should you preach to me? That's what some people will tell you when you want to just witness to them about Jesus Christ, which is, of course, the Great Commission of Christ. What do you do when you meet up with people who are self-righteous? I'm not such a bad person, they say. In fact, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't murdered anybody, haven't raped anybody. I don't go around kicking dogs and, you know, I live a good, normal life. I'm not as bad as most people. Well, the Bible says that's not good enough. Being good just doesn't really cut it. Let me tell you what the Bible says. You know, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, here's a good verse to put on them. This is out of the Word of God now, not your own imagination. Don't try to search when you're witnessing to people. Don't try to search for things of a human intellect. I've been on talk shows debating atheists. I've talked debating New Agers and occultists. And I always quote the Word of God to them. And it makes them madder than hornets. And I tell them, well, you know, why should I? They said, that's all you can do is quote that Bible. You know, you're just like one of these stupid fundamentalists. All you can do is keep quoting the Bible. Well, that's the most intelligent being in the whole universe wrote the Bible. I'd rather quote that to you than my own words. There is wisdom and there is life in the Scriptures. And of course, I believe that many of these people don't want to hear the Word of God because the devil, it cuts. It's like a sword and it cuts. Listen to Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You do good works? Well, that's nice. You can be another Mother Teresa, and she was a wonderful humanitarian. Was she saved? Well, that's up to God, but if she didn't accept Jesus Christ, repent of her sins, be born again, no, she wasn't saved. A lot of do-gooders out there. Andrew Carnegie. I have researched this man's life. He was a millionaire many times over. He endowed public libraries throughout the United States of America. What good deeds that was. Is he in hell? Probably. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. You say, well, I'll just follow the law. Maybe you're a Jew. I'll just follow the laws. We have 613 laws in the Judaic religion. And I try to follow every one of them. Reminds me of the young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus looked at him and he was quite rich and he was a wonderful person. He said, well, obey the law, the prophets. He said, Master, I've done these things since I was born. And Jesus looked at him and knew he was telling the truth. Well, you couldn't get much better person than that, considering the Jews have so many man-made traditions and laws. This was a very fine young man, very rich, endowed financially, probably dressed to the nines, as they used to call it, which, by the way, is a Masonic phrase. But Jesus looked at him and loved him because he was such a good person. And he said, there's one thing that you lack. Take everything that you own, sell it, and give it to the poor. And come, follow me. And you know, the young rich ruler went away, sad. It was too much of a request. So God is calling on people. The fact that you're not worse than anybody else doesn't mean anything at all, because there's nobody good. No, not one that's righteous, the Bible says. You said, well, I really am a good person. Romans 2:16 says, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, there's some secret sins hidden in your life and everyone's life. And God, for sure, will find them out. He already knows them. Luke 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You know, many, many years ago as a young man, I believe I was about 22 or 23, I'd backslid and was talking to a good friend of mine in the chaplaincy, in fact, in the Air Force. He was a Methodist chaplain. And as you know, many Methodist preachers don't believe in being born again. And we were talking, and I told him that I was backslidden. I really wasn't living for Jesus like I should be. He said, oh, you're a good boy. You're a good young man. Don't worry about that. You're probably a better Christian than you realize. I said, no, I'm not a good Christian. I know I'm backslidden. Oh, well, you're judging yourself too harshly, he said. But you see, I knew. And he was very confused. He was the nicest man. I love this chaplain. I sometimes wonder where he's at, that chaplain that I served with over in the Vietnam theater, over in Thailand, actually, in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. But he was a mixed up man and just thought you could be a good person and that would be enough. But God knew my hearts and God had convicted me as a young man. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. A lot of pastors look good, don't they? They have nice homilies for sermons, and they just seem to be such holy persons. But, you know, that may be just outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. Well, then there's the person you come across, and as you're witnessing to them, they say, well, you know, I'm not worried about going to hell because God is good, and a merciful God wouldn't damn anyone to hell. Really? And why does it say in John 8, verse 24, if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins? What about that? What does it say in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? You say, but surely God wouldn't send anybody. I mean, an eternal burning torment of hell? Well, let me read you 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Wow. You see, God spared not the angels. What makes you think he's going to spare you from hellfire, my friend? And all of those people that died in that old world of Noah, they're gone. They went into hell, my friends. They were washed away by the water, and they went from being wet to being bone dry and crying out in pain for water in hell. But if you know Jesus, now here's some good news. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You live godly, that means not perfect, but you live in Jesus and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you do your best through the Holy Ghost to live the life that God has prepared in advance for you. And he knows how to keep you out of temptations. Luke 13 verse 3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Me? Person says, me perish? Oh my. Yes, you will perish. And you say, but I've got health insurance. I can afford a long stay in the hospital. Well, that may be, but Hebrews 9 verse 27 says it is appointed for a man to die. Afterward, the judgment. You just have one life, my friends. Reincarnation is how you can keep living over and over and over again till you get it right. That could be like a broken record, couldn't it? I think some people seem to backslide. They get worse and worse. After 10,000 lifetimes, they'd probably be true devils then. They'd be Hitlers and Stalins and Clintons by then. By that time. You don't necessarily get better. You know, it's been my experience that a bad person gets worse with age. Have you noticed that? The meanest old people were mean young people. That's true. But they got meaner as they got older. Some people say, well, I'm trying to be a good Christian. Friends, that's nice and that's wonderful, but make sure you're a saved Christian. A lot of people call themselves Christians. But it says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I'm going to end with this good news from John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The good news, you believe on the Son of God, Jesus, you will have everlasting life. Believe not, the wrath of God. And for difficult people, they need to know the wrath of God does indeed await them. Well, we're going to talk more next week about difficult people, about the uncertain, about backsliders, maybe even Roman Catholics. That's next week as we continue this sermon series, You Can Witness to the Lost. This is Tex Mars. Great to be with you. Please tune in next week to Bible Home Church as we continue to praise our precious Lord Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.